As I mentioned, this is our Christmas service, and this is the time that we're going to celebrate Jesus' first coming when he came as a baby, right? And so it's a powerful time. Name of the message is the gift that keeps giving, and we know that Jesus himself is that gift that keeps giving. God so loved the world that he gave, but we so love God that we receive. It has to work that way. You know, when somebody gives us a gift, we also have to receive the gift, correct? If we don't receive it, then it's not really ours. And so that's why, you know, we need to make sure that we put both pieces of that together. Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, we place the value of a gift based on the relationship that we have with the giver of the gift. Hypothetically, the gift that comes from your spouse should mean a little bit more than the gift that comes from your boss, right? Hypothetically. In reality, though, right? Everybody with me?
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, the little gifts that your kids make, you know, with their crayons and you put them on the refrigerator, those are supposed to carry more clout than maybe receiving a $500 bonus at work. Hypothetically. Again, another hypothetical. You know, so it's the giver, and it's what we place on it. So what we need to do is that we should place a higher value on God's gift because of the importance of the one who gave it. You know, it's the importance of God in our life is why it makes this gift so special when God gave it to us. Our passage that we looked at, and I'm going to read it in its entirety, then we're going to break down a little bit. You know, John 3:16 to 21, and I'll be honest with you, I didn't mention this last week, but I don't think in my life I've ever preached on John 3:16 that I can remember. Why? Because everybody else did it. That's just my weird thinking. I don't remember ever really doing it, but last week we talked about it a little bit. But and you know my feelings on that. We're going to do a summary here in a minute. But it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world would be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged, and he who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates light and does not come to the light, for fear of the deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifested, having been wrought in God." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the stirring of the Spirit in our hearts today, Lord, as we celebrate the birth of the Christ child. And we're so thankful for the gift that you've given us, Lord, and it's the gift that keeps on giving. Lord, I yield to the gift you put inside of me, that ministry gift, Lord. And I want to use it for your glory. I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. And we give you praise as we bind the devil from stealing the word out of our hearts in any way, shape, or form. In Jesus' name, amen. So, a little recap about last week for those who didn't make it. I know we had a little bit of ice on the road a little bit, but not too bad. But you can go to rfwc.com to be able to catch up on these. But, you know, I mentioned, and you know, that John 3:16 sometimes can give people a false hope, because they think that if they just believe in God, that's going to get them to heaven. Excuse me. But, you know, we changed the words. Instead of believe, we said put their trust in. So we have to put our trust in what Jesus Christ did for us at the cross and how important that is. Hopefully my voice is going to hold up today. Excuse me here. Pardon me. But anyway, so to me, faith is more than just believing, but we need to put our trust in Jesus. So we looked in the importance also of Bible love, you know, which we call the God kind of love, which is agape, which is a sacrificial love. That's the kind of love that God has for you and I, and it's the kind of love that we need to have for each other. We talked about the idea that Jesus is the gift that keeps giving, and to me, it's from generation to generation. I kind of looked this up, roughly, depending on how long you call a generation, it's been 70 generations since the time of Jesus Christ, which kind of shocked me. I never really put that in perspective, but that's really not that long. 70 different generations have come and gone from the time that Jesus went to the cross until now. And each generation, we keep evangelizing the next generation and how important it is to pass that on. We talked about how we need to make it personal. It can't just be something way out there, but it's got to be personal. And that Jesus came to save and not judge. And as long as there is breath, there is hope. Okay, that catches us up to where we left off last week. And now we're going to look at verse 19 to 21. This is kind of talking about darkness a little bit, and we looked at that last week a little bit. But it says here, this is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, for fear his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be manifested, having been wrought in God. So, a first point I want to see today is the idea of that of walking in darkness. I don't know if you've ever done that before, but have you ever went into a dark room and you started feeling the wall, groping, trying to find a light switch? Because you can't see in the darkness, right? Well, that's what it's like for somebody who doesn't know Christ going through life. We just kind of grope and sort of feel our way through life, because we can't really see the truth, and you know, because our eyes have not been opened yet and been exposed to it. To me, you know, life can be hard sometimes, and some people's lives are harder than others. I know that as a pastor. Some people go through some very serious things in their life. So life can be hard, but I found out it was a whole lot harder without Jesus. Because without Jesus, there is no hope. There is no hope for the future. There's only hope in this life. And I'm not a pessimist by nature, but to me, this life, there's a lot of hopelessness in this life. If you have nothing to look forward to in eternity, you know, it takes away the purpose of life. And see, the problem that you and I deal with is that our evil deeds keep us from wanting to come to the light, don't want to change, don't want to let go of some things. Now, don't get me wrong, we can never get ourselves clean enough or good enough for God. Nobody can. That's why we need Jesus. That's why he came. But there also, on the other side of the coin, is that there has to come a point in our life where we decide that we want Jesus more than we want the things of this world. And that's why God sent his son, to give us that choice. Before him, there was no choice. There was only, for the Old Testament Jews, the opportunity to offer up a blood sacrifice, where you'd take a lamb or an animal and you would kill it and you'd shed its blood, because life is in the blood. Well, Jesus Christ came, and he was the last Lamb of God that was able to set us free. Now, the question I just want, another one I want for you, other than groping through life, is that why is it that sometimes we love things that are bad for us? Have you ever tried to figure that one out? And we all know what those things are, right? We got things in our life that we love, that we know are bad for us. Things that, you know, maybe harm us. You know, why does some good girls only like bad boys? Right? Have you ever seen that happen? You know, why do good girls like bad boys? Don't answer that. Why do we eat foods that are unhealthy for us just because they taste good? Now, how many's craved, maybe, let's say, I'm not dissing ice cream here, but how many's really thought they wanted a bowl of ice cream? And you went and got that bowl of ice cream, and then you ate that bowl of ice cream, only to be filled with regret. Am I the only one that's ever done that? We all have, right? Now, there's a lot of calories in ice cream, a lot of glucose in ice cream, shall we say, and all the things that go on with it. And so we have that, and you know, and then sometimes, you know, we maybe self-medicate to the point that we're filled with regret in the morning. We try that. You know, we do the things that feel good for the moment, but then they leave us empty in the end. Sometimes we choose toxic relationships because they're easy in the beginning, but in the end, they choke the life out of us. But we still choose those things for whatever reason. We're not going to dive into that totally deep today, but the main problem is the fact that you and I are missing something. We're missing something. And that's why we go out and we chase after all these things, because, you know, we were born with a God-sized hole in our heart. And the only thing that can fill that is God. And what we do, at least I tried this, is I tried to cram all these different things. You remember that little kid toy? Teaches them shapes, where it's got circles and squares and crosses and different things, and you got these little wooden blocks, and now it's probably all electronic, I don't know, but you'd try to, you know, cram that, you know, thing in a square peg in a round hole, you know? That's what it's like in this world, is that we keep trying to cram all these things into our life, somehow trying to maybe find some sort of fulfillment, somehow trying to bring some sort of happiness or joy to our life. Because inside, we have a longing. And really what that is, I found out because I went through this pilgrimage in my life where I wasn't satisfied. I did everything that the world had to offer or all they said that was fun. And yet I lacked. I needed something else. I needed something different. I needed something more. So I said, maybe I ought to try God. Maybe I ought to try God. And that's what I did. And I found out God filled that hole. He filled that spot inside of me that was lacking. And that's why we need to, you know, come to that point, because Jesus is the reason for this season. Amen? And, you know, the problem sometimes is that, you know, we made the mistake of maybe choosing instant gratification instead of long-term fulfillment. You know, we go for something right now. Something makes me feel good right now. Maybe like that bowl of ice cream. I need it right now. But I wasn't fulfilled. Another problem that we have, you know, we talk about sin and unbelief, you know, as a problem, right? That is a problem. But, you know, sometimes, you know, we don't want to believe is the thing, because we love sin so much. There's things that we don't want to let go of. Now, be honest, some sin is fun. Right? Some sin is fun, at least for the moment. Not all sin is fun. I've done some unfun sin too, you know what I mean? I mean, I knew that wasn't good for me, but, you know, but the reason, you know, because of the old nature and things, we crave those things. But to me, verse 20, what it did, it kind of, the reason why we don't want to go to the light is because that light exposes us. The word exposed means to be put to shame or to prove that one is wrong. The reason why sometimes some people don't want to submit their lives to Christ is the fact that they don't want to admit it, that they're wrong. Do you know somebody who hates to admit it they're wrong? Are you sitting by somebody right now that hates to admit when they're wrong? Right? But see, light does that. It exposes things. And then what we do is we play the shame and blame game. You know, the shame and blame game. You know, we feel shame, but instead of dealing with it properly, we blame somebody else. Right? That's why you get married. Right? So you have somebody to blame. No. Shouldn't be that way. Some of you guys ain't smiling on that one. Might have hit a nerve, eh? I don't know. So we use doubt. Some people use doubt, you know, in your, hopefully you do evangelism a little bit, hopefully a lot. You're out sharing your faith with other people. And sometimes you run across people and they say, well, I just kind of doubt. I doubt God. I prayed to God and God didn't answer my prayer. Or, you know, I just don't know that, you know, a God can answer, you know, hear everybody's prayer at the same time. They just doubt the power of God. And really what that is, it's some people, in my opinion, have what we call dishonest doubt. Dishonest doubt. Dishonest doubt is when we doubt God, but we say we doubt God, but in reality, it's our love for self and our love for sin that's holding us back. But we don't want to admit that. We just don't want to let go of some things, people. That's human nature. But the good news is, by grace of God, we can let go of these things. You know, some people actively fight against God. Others, on the other hand, just ignore Him, but both are in the same boat. And, you know, we usually just kind of lump immorality into the big sin, right? But, you know, the other sin that you and I have to deal with is also dealing with idols. And I touched on that last week a little bit, and I want to touch on it again. An idol is anything that we place of a more importance in our life than God is in our life. And this is what I really think is important, is that every now and then, several times a year, if not more, we need to take a spiritual inventory. We kind of look at our life, and we look at things that are important in our life right now. You know how you do that? Well, you look what you're spending your money on. You look at what you're spending your time on. You know, for those who wondered how you do that, that's one way. And then you see, is any of these things in my life more important to me right now than my relationship with God? Merry Christmas. So we check these things out. What's going on? How we live in our life? What are we doing? And so it's important. But the good news is, then comes the light. Isaiah 9:2, which was prophesied 700 years before Jesus came. 700. That's a long time. Especially in dog years, right? That's a long time. It says, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. Okay. Who was that talking to? Well, we know it's talking to the people of Israel for sure. But it's talking to us also on how important it is that we understand the fact that we walk in darkness. And the importance of how light is in our life. So the next point I want to see is don't fear the light. Don't fear the light. Excuse me. To me, when I was thinking about this, I know it's dangerous when I think, right? But to me, light equals revealed truth. You know, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, right? Also, the Bible says Jesus is the light of the world. So, You know, to me, it's like, have you ever had that light bulb moment go off in your mind on some things in life? You know, especially with God, all of a sudden, boom. Like, I've always shared this Christmas. I'm sorry, it's been about 30 times I've shared this. I don't know how old the church is for sure. 30-some, is it? Yeah, 30-some, 20-some. No, it's not 30, it's 28. Hark to Herald Angels Sing. I sung that and sung that and sung that. But when I got born again, when I was 24, that verse where it talks about the second birth, all of a sudden, boom. So that's what they're talking about. How many times have I sang Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and I had no clue what the second birth was talking about? It's talking about being born again. I mean, that was a revelation to me. That was a light bulb moment. The light came on. And see, that's what it's like when you and I come to the truth. The light bulb goes on. All of a sudden, we understand. All of a sudden, you know, we can see clearly. And so what happened when the people walked in darkness, the people were broken. And God sent a fixer, and his name's Jesus. How many like to fix things? Anybody? A few of us? I like to fix broken stuff. And it's very fulfilling. I love to fix broken people. I mean, I'm just a part of it. God is the fixer. I'm just, I guess, a tool. One of the tools God's uses. And, you know, the idea of, you know, how all that comes to play, you know, is the fact that, you know, mankind had a problem and God sent a solution. That's Jesus Christ. And, you know, the ideas of Jesus coming as a baby and being born in a manger, and that was his crib. You know, the idea of that whole complex situation of how God orchestrated that for you and me is just amazing, because we had a problem. And what Jesus came to do is the fact that, you know, when you walk in darkness, sometimes you don't know it. Maybe you guys were aware of it before you got saved, but sometimes I didn't know I was lost. Have you ever been that way? I didn't know I was really lost. I know I wasn't perfect, but I could always find somebody else I was better than. Somebody else that was worse than me. You know what I mean? So I thought I was okay. Then came the light. And that's what the light came to do. The light came to expose darkness. And you know, that's why I think some people won't read the Bible, is they're afraid of what it might say to them. Because there's power in that word, people. Do not be afraid of the light. To me, you know, light is a decontaminator. So to me, the sunlight, S-O-N light, is the best disinfectant you can have. We all need disinfected. We all are struggling and have all these issues. And the way that we do it is we start to practice that truth. And when we do that, it's our way to the light. And so when we accept God's truth, it is like a light switch, you know, gets turned on inside of us. Okay, so will you make room for the light? I love light. That's why I was an electrician. That and the good money. But anyway, I was always fascinated by electricity. You know, it's invisible. Can't see it. You can feel it. Bam. That'll test your religion. You know what I'm saying? But the brighter the light, the better for me. I just love light. I hate darkness. And so when Jesus came and showed up that night in Bethlehem, then came the light. And what happened was darkness would not make room for the light. A lot of things were going on in that, and I'm going to hit it just a little bit. You know, Joseph and Mary were engaged. Joseph was a little older than Mary, we know. And Mary was a virgin, and then she became pregnant by God when the Holy Spirit overshadowed her. Well, I'm sure that kind of blew Joseph's dream a little bit, you know what I'm saying? Mary comes up and says, hey, guess what, honey? I'm pregnant. Well, Joseph knew that they hadn't had relations with each other. How would you take that? I could guess. I did this at the youth group the other night, and they all said, I wouldn't have married her. Then God came to Joseph in a dream and said, hey, it's okay, it's my kid, da da da. Then God used the heathen leader to call a census. Why? Because the Savior is supposed to be born in Bethlehem. They had to get there. They were living in Nazareth, about 90 miles away. So then about the time she's going to give birth, by chance, which we know was God, providence, called for a census. So they had to get and go 90 miles, about ready to give birth, and go to Bethlehem. The thing is, I know that culture, that they were even supposed to take strangers in to offer them a place. But why wouldn't they make room for a pregnant woman? You have to understand that their whole family was in Bethlehem. Their whole family had made that trip because if you was there, you had to go there and register for the census of your place of origin, your place of birth. So all Joseph's family was there. But see, they looked down upon Mary because she had a baby and she wasn't married, or she was pregnant and out of wedlock. So no room, that prejudice, that darkness was setting on that people. Jesus deserved to be born in a palace. He's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Ended up being born in a stable, a place of humble beginnings, because he wanted to show us the way, the importance of humility in our life, and how we need to be humble and to be able to, you know, surrender and to submit ourselves to God. And so the darkness was so strong. And, you know, I, as a young boy, know what darkness was like. Number one, I wasn't a Christian, but also I used to coon hunt as a kid. And coon hunting you do at night. And we had dogs. And you'd turn that dog loose out in the timber. And that dog would take off. And you just never know where you're going to end up. I'm halfway decent with directions. I know that's north, that's south, that's west, that's east, you know. If I'm on a square place, I'm pretty good. But that old dog would take off because he's chasing the coon, and if you're down by a creek, that coon will cross that creek three or four times, and you're just following that thing, meandering around everywhere, and you're going this way and that way. And I'll be honest, I was lost. A lot of times, didn't want to admit it. My internal compass was off. I thought that way was south, but it was really north. And a lot of times, people, our internal compass gets off because as we go through life, our compass is been calibrated by the world. And it's haywire. And one of the greatest things that I really loved is that when you saw a farm light far off, because I knew the neighborhood, Oh yeah, that's where so-and-so lives. I know where I'm at now because I could see their light. And see, that's what you and I need to do as we grope and we try to make our way through life, no matter how lost we get, no matter how turned around we are, no matter how messed up our internal compass is, when we see the light, go for it. Because that brings us back to where we need to be. Is when we surrender our life and we start to walk in that light that Jesus Christ has revealed in our life. And the idea that Jesus, the last point is Jesus is God's gift to mankind. You know, God sent love's pure light to overcome darkness. That's the only thing that can defeat darkness, and that's light. No matter how big your light is, you could have a huge light, or you could have a little light. They both stick out in darkness. I could turn off all the lights and light a match, and you would still see that light, that small little light. And sometimes, you know, we get so far away from God, that light seems really small, don't it? But I got news, the closer you get, the brighter it gets. Amen? Don't be afraid of that. Don't be afraid of getting close. You know, the idea that Jesus, you know, was born, as I mentioned, you know, in a manger, in a stable, and then he was put in a trough, a food trough. I mean, I've fed animals before as a farm kid, and, you know, you just, them animals slobber. Ah, it's gross. But no other place, there was no room for him. No room for him anywhere else. Nobody else would make room. Well, we make room for him. But nobody else would make room for him. And they missed it. They missed the greatest blessing of history that night when they chose not to make room for him. And so I want us to understand it doesn't really matter where we were born. What matters is why we were born. Jesus was born in a stable, but look what he did. You may think you was born into bad circumstances and all these different things going on, but never mind about that. That's nothing. Find out why you were born. And to chase after that and to follow that purpose and that plan that God has for your life, because God has a, if you're born, God had a plan for you. You wouldn't be here if you weren't born, right? Number one. And God has a plan for each and every person that was born. So important is that we have of being able to find that purpose. We need to be looking for the Christ child. We need to be looking for the Christ child. We need to make room for him in our life. In a world that's so complicated and all these different things that's going on in our life, you know, that we have so much going on. And what I found out is sometimes if we want to make room for something new, we have to get rid of something old. You know, my wife loves to do garage sales. She brings this stuff home and we don't have any room for new stuff, do we? Come on, be honest. We're in church now. Come on. We don't have room for anything. But, so we got to get rid of stuff. What are some things today you'd like to get rid of? What are some things you'd like to get rid of today? We have an altar. It's a place where you can leave it at the altar and give it over to God. Say, God, I don't want this no more. I want to give this to you. And that's the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the Bible says there in verse 21 of John 3, it says that we need to practice the truth. I'm going to give us a couple ways that we can do it. You know, first we need to focus not on the gifts yet to be given, but focus on God's gift that was already given. You know, don't look on the tree, under the tree, but look who was on the tree. That was God's gift to mankind. So as we focus on those things, not the worldly things, not the pretty ribbons and the boxes and the things like this, but look at what was given as God's gift and was born in a stable. And the idea of that holy night. A couple scriptures, you can write these down and look them up for yourself, is in 1 John chapter 2, verse 10. Now here's the key. It says, when we walk in love with our brethren, we walk in the light. That's how you and I walk in the light. We walk in love. What does that mean? That means we get along. That means we maybe think the best about the other person. This is hard, ain't it, some of it? But that's how we walk in love. See, we need to love by choice and not by feelings. And it's easy to do, you just got to choose it. Even if you don't feel it, just choose it. Say, I choose by faith, I'm going to walk in love. I'm not going to react, I'm going to act. Okay? So after 1 John 2:10, then we have 1 John 1:7. Excuse me. I think I'm making it. It says, when we walk in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses us. Okay? Now, we live in a dirty world. We live in a world that sometimes sin tries to stain us. We get a little bit on us, right? But say, when we walk in the light, we have that continually cleansing of the blood of Jesus. So by walking in love, we walk in the light, and we walk in the light, the blood cleanses us. See the perfect cycle there. But it's just the flow that you and I need to get into. It's the Jesus way. And we get into that circle of blessing. You know what I mean? We start to leave, we walk away from that circle of cursing. You know, where it seems like everything we do goes wrong. Well, then if we start to do it God's way, I found out is a better way, then we get into that circle of blessing in our life. And we start to walk in God's power. It's just something consciously, you know, that we need to do. See, we are blessed when we choose to become a blessing to someone else. So through this season of giving, you know, remember that Jesus is the gift that keeps on giving. And when you're thinking about what could I get this person, maybe we should give them Jesus. Share the love of God with them. You don't have to go Genesis to Revelation, you know what I'm saying? I mean, don't try that. Just tell somebody, what has Jesus done in your life? What has Jesus done in your life? And that's going to make an impact on their life. Amen? Let's close in prayer.